As we're studying through the Gospel of John, we've come to the end of the life of Jesus. John 13, 14, 15, 16 are the last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he would go to the cross. So he boils it down to the most important things that he wanted them to know. And since we are his disciples, these are things that are really important for us to know as well. But here in John chapter 14 and verse 27, John records where Jesus left his, in a sense, his last will and testament to the disciples. He's giving something to them, bequeathing it to them. And it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Boy, in a world like today's, the concept of peace is something that we need desperately. We see on an international scale, there's so much war going on, there's so much violence, so much, and we're trying to do the right thing, and yet it seems like you can't make anyone happy in the world. We're reaching out, trying to help them to vote and have powers of self-determination, introduce democracy to people who have been pressed down and taken advantage of, and yet still suicide bombs and roadside bombs and all of these things are threatening us every day. But then even in our own country, where there are so many different sides that are fighting against each other on issues, as you come to churches, often this is the case as well, and in many families, and right down as you look through the Zoom lens, we look into our own lives and we admit that, boy, sometimes I'm not at peace. If being a Christian, if receiving from God means taking his peace in my life, I need it. As Jesus said here, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That word for troubled is a word that means to be agitated. Almost like what a washing machine does when it moves the water around, or what a jacuzzi does is it blasts air and water into the jacuzzi. It's the same word that's used when over there where the lame man was next to the pool in Bethesda, and the angel, it says, periodically would come and trouble the water. It would stir up the water. It would agitate it. And so it was like when the jets came on the jacuzzi, the first person into the pool would be healed. Well, many of us, I think, if we admit it, looking deep down inside, we'll acknowledge that sometimes our hearts are that way. Sometimes our heart is just agitated. It's not at peace. And usually this agitation comes from being afraid of one thing or another. What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? And we get ourselves all stirred up. And yet Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." He offers peace to us if we're missing that peace. Now, the Bible talks about several different levels of peace. There's a peace with God, where I know I'm okay with God. There's a peace of God, whereby I'm really at peace with people around me, and I'm at peace with myself. But all of those things tug and pull and tear at us, and we live our lives out in such a way that it's really anything but peaceful. And yet Jesus says, "I want to give you peace." And I want you to know and to understand this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. You may have spent the week in turmoil. Maybe it's just reflected in the way that your mind just won't shut down. You try to sit down and relax and your mind is just racing. Thoughts just shooting through your mind. And you can't rest because of it. Maybe your turmoil is in your stomach. It's just, it's always upset and it's striving. Maybe it is in your heart. You're caring about something so deeply that you just want God to work. Maybe it's about your kids or your job or your school or your, you know, friends or your church or other things where it's just like, I'm in a turmoil. We need to understand that Jesus said, "No, I'm giving you peace." Something we have to receive. And the first step is to realize, to acknowledge we don't have it. And to acknowledge that if we're not at peace, there's something wrong because he said he'll give it to us. Now, the first thing we see here about this peace, if we back up a verse, Well, let's back up two verses. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, or the comforter, the one who's called alongside to help, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when Paul outlined the fruit of the Spirit, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, love, we know that's fruit of the Spirit. And love is something that we need to have. It's very important. It's also easy to fake. I can pretend like I love somebody. Joy. Joy is something that's pretty easy to fake. You can hold it together and force a smile on your face and, you know, spoonful of sugar and all that. And you can act like you're happy. You can even think about something that makes you happy and kind of get by for a while. But peace is something that I think is so hard to fake. People can just look at us and know whether we're at peace or not. And beyond that, when we're all alone by ourselves, we know whether we're at peace or not. But see, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that God commands us to do. Be peaceful. He says, I'll do it. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Helper, he's going to give you peace. Now, the Holy Spirit is one who Jesus told his disciples, he's with you. And he will be in you. And eventually he'll come upon you. Those three prepositions that let us know of different relationships that we can have with the Spirit of God. He's with us. If he wasn't with us, we wouldn't have never been convicted of our sins and be drawn to the Lord. But then when we become a Christian, he's in us. He comes inside us. He makes our body, our life, his dwelling place. The Holy Spirit is inside every Christian. But then Jesus said there's also a relationship with the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit needs to come upon you. It's what happened first on the day of Pentecost. First to the Christians. Jesus had the Holy Spirit upon him before that, of course. But for the Christians, Pentecost was that experience where the Holy Spirit actually came upon them in power. Now, that's the empowerment that we need to be the people that God wants us to be. But, you know, although it does trace back to an experience, it does trace back to a place and time where we open ourselves up to the Lord and receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that endowment of power from on high, yet for us, it needs to be a daily experience, not just something we look back on. Paul told the Ephesians, he compared it or contrasted it with being drunk. He said, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but literally continuously be filled with the Spirit. Always be in the process of being filled with the Spirit. And then he said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. If I don't have peace, now it could be peace with somebody else. It could be I feel like there's something between me and God. Or that most devastating lack of peace, that turmoil that comes when I just can't even experience that peace in my own life. It's pointing me to the fact that there's a lack of the work of the Spirit of God in my life right now. And that's not something to be ashamed of. That's not something to beat anyone up over. It's a simple fact. If you want more of the peace that God promises, then you need more of the Spirit who gives that peace. We need to go back to him and say, God, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want you to be in control of my life. I need that. I think often we put such an emphasis on those big moments of our life when we accept the Lord or when we're filled with the Spirit. And then we just kind of think it's going to carry us the rest of the way. But the Holy Spirit is one who wants to relate to us in a constant way. See, for the disciples, as Jesus was talking to them, they were used to him being there, being close to them. They hung out with him for over 3 years. And they had the comfort of his arms around them as they would be walking along. Or in John at the Last Supper, just before, they're just laying back and leaning on Jesus. Imagine. And There's a certain peace that comes when you're with someone that you've known. If you're hungry, he can feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If you're out in the sea in a boat and waves are coming up over the side of the boat, he can stand up and just say, "Peace, peace, be still," and the storms, the wind and the seas obey him. That would be a feeling of security, really, to be with Jesus. But now he's saying, "I'm going to leave," and we're still in a situation where he isn't here with us in the same sense that he was with his disciples. And yet he says, actually, it's going to be better for you because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. He won't just be with you. He'll be in you. He'll come upon you. He will be driving. And that's the source of the peace that he wants to give us, that he promises, that he offers to leave with us. And so if we're not experiencing that peace in our lives, we need to realize somehow we need to go to the Holy Spirit and to say, "Would you come and help me?" A lot of times we just don't want help. I'm terrible about this. I just don't like to ask someone for help. And I can be at Home Depot and have a whole cart full of stuff that, and I'm trying to figure out a way to weasel it up into my truck, and somebody will go, "Hey, you need any help?" No, I'm okay. And I'm like, it's killing me. My back's hurting. I don't know how, but I know I'm going to figure out some way. And I push on the wood, and the cart slides out, and I'm like grabbing it with my foot and trying to, and it's just like, no, I just don't like to ask for help. The other day, I was here moving some furniture around in the offices, and I thought about this because I had been reflecting on this scripture, and I thought, you know, this would be so much easier for me to move these bookcases on Monday when there's somebody here to help, but nah. I'm gonna get it done now. And I insist on doing things that wear me out, that cause me to become frustrated. But see, a lot of us have that within us. We don't know how to ask for help. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is there to help. That's his name. And our peace is not going to come from letting people help us. That'll just make life easier. Our peace will come from allowing the Holy Spirit to help us. I can remember times when we were on vacation. When our kids were smaller, we took several vacations where we just drove all over the country. Didn't know where we were going, didn't know where we were going to stay, just enjoying the road. And it sounds good, and it's really, adventuresome and everything, until it gets to be like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you can't find a hotel. Hotels are falling, you're just driving, and you have that robed hypnotism, and everybody just, any place will sound good. And then we would have, because Anne's the more discriminating of the four of us, so we'd sit out in front of a hotel, and she'd go in and check out the rooms. No, you wouldn't want to stay there. Well, she knew we wouldn't mind staying there. She was the one that didn't want to stay there, but that's okay. So we'd on down the road to the next, and I'd be so tired, and Anne would insist on driving. And Anne drives okay, but her night vision isn't very well, and she won't admit when she's tired. So she's driving, and I can tell we're bumping off the road, and she's just saying, "No, you just rest, Dave. Just, I'm like, I can't close my eyes. I'm terrified. And she would go, and so I'd be like, "Are you sure?" No, I'm fine. And we're driving, and I'm hanging onto the side of the seat, and the kids are wide awake, and Anne's going, "Did you see that?" I go, "See what?" She goes, "It looked like something just flew across the road." I go, "Pull over." I'm not. But the Holy Spirit is someone who wants to help, who can help, who's good at it. Who, if he's driving, you can just sit back and put your feet up on the dashboard and really relax because you can trust him. And he wants to do that for us in our life. Sometimes we don't want people to help because of our pride. Sometimes it's because we think we're okay. Sometimes we're afraid if we stop doing it, then it's not going to get done, or worse yet, we'll be not necessary, we'll be superfluous. But the Holy Spirit is there to make us who God wants us to be. And he wants to help. He doesn't just do it for us. He goes, "Let me help. Let me come alongside you." And anything that we do in life by ourselves, we'll do so much better with him with us. He doesn't just say, "Here, let me do it," and push us out of the way. He says, "Let me help, and I'll do it." And the result that comes from that is a peace. The fruit of the Spirit of going, "It's okay now. What happened?" Well, the Holy Spirit is key. But now as we read down in that verse, in verse 26, it says the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And I think this is one of the main ways that the Holy Spirit does come alongside us to help. It's taking God's word and making it real to us. It's taking the word of God and applying it to us. You can't separate being filled with the Spirit from being filled with the word of God. Not just knowing it, but having it working in our lives, trusting it, believing on it. It has so much to offer for us. It's why, you know, I mentioned before, when Paul talks in Ephesians about being filled with the Spirit and singing to one another in psalms and hymns and so on, in the parallel passage over in Colossians chapter 3, he says, not be filled with the Spirit. He says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, being filled with the Spirit, what the Spirit does is he comes alongside us and he takes God's word and he goes, look, this is for you. This is stuff that applies to your life right now. The areas where you're striving and stressed, the areas where you're not receiving my peace, where you're blocking what I want to do, I've got a verse for you. I have a passage for you. And if you will remember what my word says, you'll find that my peace will just flood forth into your life. That's how the Holy Spirit wants to work with us. I think that's why it's so important for us to read the word, to get together, to study the word of God, to meditate on the word of God, to think about it as we're going through, and also to memorize the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He says that he'll call his word to remembrance, but he can't make you remember something that you never knew. And so I believe it's important, not just for little kids, but for old people like us also, to program God's word into our mind, to learn it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to think about it. It's not only good for your mind, it really is good exercise for the mind to memorize scripture, but it puts a database in there from which God's Spirit can draw at the right time. And isn't it amazing how sometimes just a scripture verse will just pop into your head that's exactly what you need when you're talking to someone or when you're wrestling with something in your own life? It's why when we look to the word, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one who can take my heart and God's word and put them together. It's one reason why, and a secret, and I've told you this many times, it's not a secret anymore. When people come to me after church and say, boy, Dave, what you were speaking was exactly, it was for me, it was exactly what I needed. And I generally will say, understand this, I was only preaching to myself. If I share anything of value in God's word, it's because this week God was making this very real to my heart. I won't preach something just to tell you to do it. I preach it, I share it, because it's just what the Spirit of God is doing. And it's a great thing that when God happens to share something with me, there are some of you that get caught in the crossfire, and you actually go, wow, that's God speaking to me too. That's great. But I don't ever look at the Word of God and think, okay, I need to preach Sunday. Now, what do these people need? I just go, God, what do I need? I mean, really, all I do, the truth is, for the most part, I just get up here and get paid for sharing my devotions with you. That's all. It's what it is. But that's where the power of the Word of God lies, in the Spirit's ability to make it real in our lives, in his ability to come in and say, look, I've got exactly what you need. I know what's blocking your peace. I know what's causing you turmoil. I know why you're upset. You're not supposed to be upset. I know why you're bothered. I know why you're stressed. You're not supposed to be that way. I have something in my word that's going to deal with that directly and personally. Pay attention to me. And we need to go to the Spirit and we need to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. And please take your word and make it real in my life. Cause it to apply in a very specific way right now, today, this week. God's word is amazing that way. Later on, Jesus would share with them one of the things that I like to remember often, the last verse in chapter 16, where he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. Now I have a choice. Am I going to believe that or not? Because I find myself in this world struggling because I have tribulation. You go, man, I want peace. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm asking for peace, but if people would quit shooting at me, I could finally get out of this war and I could have some peace. If the opposition wasn't there, if the hassles weren't there, if life was just this wonderful, calm pool of pure, clear water, and that was, peace would be easy. But I'm in a lifetime where it seems like all around me things are blowing up. But Jesus says, that's the way it's supposed to be. But I still am telling you, I can give you peace in that because I've won. And if you believe my word that I have overcome the world, then you'll have a peace that passes understanding. You'll have a peace that goes way beyond just what you can figure out. Now, I want a peace that comes from understanding, and so I try to figure everything out. And if I figure it out, then I'll have peace. But he says, no, I want to give you a peace that passes understanding, that's way beyond that. Over in Philippians chapter 4, and you can turn over there if you'd like. If you're struggling with peace, Philippians 4 is so good. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of times I've read it when I've been in turmoil, when I felt my heart was agitated. And beginning with verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness or your coolness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that comes from thinking about the things that God is doing. A peace that comes from casting all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Ultimately, that peace can guard our hearts, can keep them from being agitated. It can guard our minds, can rescue them from that racing, the torture of just not being able to experience peace. It's a choice that we make, but it's a work of the Spirit. As He says, let me do this for you. Now, God is faithful, and let me say, one way or another, He will give you His peace. You know, really? Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, there are a few different ways of doing it. You can be in the midst of turmoil, and God can take His word and apply it to your heart, and the Holy Spirit can come along and comfort you, and in the middle of the turmoil, He can just cause you to go, oh, I'm at peace. Or He'll say, you know, if you want to strive, you're enjoying this a lot, just keep going and going and going, and pretty soon you'll be so exhausted, you'll collapse, and congratulations, peace. Or if you want to just keep pushing yourself anyway, stimulating yourself to continue, ultimately, you'll go to heaven. You'll have peace forever. One way or another, we're going to have it. But it's His desire to give it to us now. It's what He left us in His will to say, I want you to have this peace. And this peace will be an amazing witness to the people around you. Now, there are some people who just seem to naturally be peaceful people. There are other people who just seem to naturally be all wound up. God's not going to take away your personality, but He wants to work with you, who you are, where you are, and show you the peace that passes understanding and give you the peace that's in the middle of the storm. He'll do it by His Holy Spirit. You need to ask. The Holy Spirit will apply God's word to your heart, and something will happen, and the veil will be lifted, and you'll know that you're experiencing that peace. And I think most of us know what it feels like, but we also know what it feels like to not have it. And the question is, why should we continue to allow ourselves to be agitated? Why should we continue to allow ourselves to be disturbed? Why should we continue to allow ourselves to just stay all wound up when Jesus said, I'm leaving the Holy Spirit so that you can have peace. I want you to have it. That's what he wants for us. That's his desire. That's what he's declared is ours. Now notice also, it says that peace I leave with you, verse 27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. He has a different way of giving peace than what the world has. How does the world get peace? Well, on an international scale, if you kill enough people, you have peace. Because now they're all on our side. Sometimes that's the only way to get peace internationally, is by killing a bunch of people. Or in our interpersonal relationships, we maybe run to get peace. Let's try to get away. Let's escape. And so life, it's tough at work, find another job. It's tough in your marriage, bail out and try out somebody else. Let's start having auditions. Maybe it'll be better next time. We run, we try to escape. Other things the world tells us to do is to anesthetize ourselves. If I can get drugged up, then maybe I'll have peace. That's why it's such a huge industry now, medicating people into peace. And whether through stimulants, whether through antidepressants, whatever it is, let's try to find some balance. It's the only reason I can think of why people drink alcohol. It works. You drink enough, it'll usually, I mean, some people are mad, angry, fighting drunks, but most people, you get them drunk and they just kind of flop there and lay down and you go, oh, that's peace. That's life. But that's peace the world gives. That's not what God wants for us. And I'm sorry, but it's not even that peace that comes from you drinking 7-8 cups of coffee a day. There's a shortcut. There's a better way for God to give us peace than just anesthetizing ourselves. I had a friend once who was a Christian psychiatrist, and his wife was a, well, I'll be careful, but I don't see him here, but his wife was a real handful, and he used to prescribe medication for his wife, and he'd pull out a pill, and he'd say, honey, either you take it, or I'm going to take it. And if she wouldn't take it, he would. Either way, problem solved. But that's the world's way of dealing with a lack of peace. Another thing we do is we try to fill our lives with white noise. We try to make sure that, hey, I'm sitting down, I can't relax, so let's turn the TV on. Just the noise of having something going on might help. Just involve activity in ourselves. A good thing to do when you're driving in your car sometime is turn everything off and don't talk. Just sit there. Is that a comfortable feeling or does it make you crazy? Well, that's a sign that you're using some of these things as crutches that the world gives you to try to have some semblance of peace in your life, and you're using electronics in order to do it. But Jesus said, and I'm not saying everything that you use to try to calm yourself down is a bad thing, certainly. But what Jesus is saying, the peace that I give isn't that. Not like the world gives. It's not that way. It doesn't take running away from something. It doesn't take going and hiding somewhere. It doesn't take forcing yourself to be around people or loading up on stimuli. He said, no, there's a peace that I give that isn't dependent on all of those coping mechanisms. That's not something that you have to figure out how to do it. It's a peace that I give. It's a gift from me. It's the Holy Spirit coming alongside of you, taking the word of God and just going, here, receive my peace. Are you feeling that today? Really, honestly, when was the last time you just sat there and said, I am at peace? Boy, God has just given me peace. I don't have to do anything for it. He's just doing it. It's his gift. It's what he has left in his will for me. Now also, though, as we look, he goes on to say, you've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you, verse 28. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I'll no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Jesus is telling them, the kind of peace that I'm offering to you is connected with the fact that I'm leaving. The peace that I give through the Holy Spirit is much preferable for you than just me being there personally. But he said, you need to understand this. I'm going and I'm coming back. And I don't believe that we'll ever have the peace that God wants us to have in our lives until we get a real grasp on the fact that this life is so temporary. That yes, Jesus is gone, but he is coming back someday for us. And if we live long enough and he raptures all of us, great. But if he doesn't and he comes and takes each of us personally, still, the day is going to come when nothing on this earth really matters anymore and we're in eternity. And that's the way we're going to spend all of eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. And it's understanding that that causes us to have a proper perspective on the dumb stuff that bugs us down here. It's why this chapter began by Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. The same word. Don't let your heart be agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And they go, well, we don't even know where you're going. What are you talking about? And he said, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's understanding ultimately that God is telling us eternity is taken care of. Heaven is coming. It's all going to be wiped out. The things that you're stressed about don't matter in light of eternity. Now, it's amazing sometimes how much pain you can take if you know it's just for a moment. Now, the doctor has ways, or the dentist, of saying, now, this might hurt a little, and you know, this is going to kill. But you also know it's just not going to go on for a long time. And so you go, okay, you brace yourself and you take it. That's sort of what the Lord is saying about us in this life. Look, I've got an eternity for you. Don't let the temporal nature of this life rob you of the peace that you could have here, knowing that it's almost over, knowing that I'm going to take you to another place. And he says, trust in my word, believe in me. I'm telling you this. You're taken care of. It's all right. Nothing can threaten you. Romans 8:28, that great promise that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so, again, for us, it's having that eternal perspective that allows us to experience peace now. God wants you to have peace. If you're stirred up, if you're agitated, if you're running too hard, running on empty, he's saying, I want you to have peace. If you don't have peace, something's wrong. Experience that, understand it, accept it. He's going, no, I want you to live a life of peace. It's what's yours based on what I've done for you. So if you want that, look to the Spirit of God. He's the key. He's the one that was sent to help us to have that peace. As we look to the Spirit, open the Word. Begin to read it, to soak it in, to memorize it. And ask every time you open the Bible, God, send your Holy Spirit to personalize this thing for me. I don't want to read somebody else's Bible. I want to read mine. I want it to speak loud and clearly to what I'm going through right now. God, I need that help. And the helper will help you, and he'll take his word, and he'll make a difference. But realize this, it's not the kind of help the world does. It's not escape. It's a peace that comes in the middle of trials and tribulations. And ultimately, it's a peace that says, I understand this is temporary, very, very temporary. And so I'm going to look for the eternal things of God in my life to make all the difference for me. And when we do that, peace, it comes. It's just there. And if it isn't right now, then you need to go to the Spirit of God and to his word and insist that you're going to claim the promise that Jesus made and say, God, I don't want to settle anymore for not being at peace. I want you to do this work in my life. Don't be afraid to ask for help. When we do, he'll help us. He'll work in our lives. He wants to. Peace should be the norm for us. Oh, our world can be falling apart. But in the middle of all that, we should be experiencing the peace of God that passes understanding, that passes comprehension. That's what God has for you. He's promised it. He wants to give it. Now, you say, yeah, but I haven't been feeling it lately. Okay. And get alone with God. Or ask someone to pray for you. After the service, there's a prayer room right through those two doors. First door on the left. And there are people who would love to just, with you, just bring your stuff before God. And say, God, I need help of your spirit. And they'll pray with you and they'll encourage you. And they'll, again, they'll be there as ministers of the Holy Spirit just to give you some help. If you'd like some extra prayer. If you'd like some encouragement, they'll lead you in that way. Or if you just can go off and find a quiet place sometime today and just be honest with God. Tell him, God, I've been thinking that this turmoil that I'm experiencing is normal, that it comes with the territory, that it's fine. But Lord, I see what you say you'll do for us, and I acknowledge this isn't fine. This isn't okay. I don't want to live like this. God, help. And he'll take his word and he'll minister it to your heart and he'll help you. And then you'll be living in light of the fact that the only thing that matters is what's eternal. All the things, all the problems that are down here that are temporary, sorry, I'm just passing through. I'm only visiting. My citizenship is in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for me. He's going to come again and get me. Now, there's not much down here that's worth worrying about when I understand that. Let's pray. Lord, we don't do peace very well. We become Christians, and then so many of the world's ways of peace, we're not supposed to do them anymore. And so we experience that turmoil that you don't want us to have. But Lord, we're coming to you now acknowledging that we need your peace, that we need help. We need the helper to take your word, to apply it to our hearts, to give us that rest and that peace, that relaxation, that comfort that only you can give. We're asking, and you say that if we ask, we'll receive. Lord, we want to receive from you. God, if there are people here this morning who have never even met you, all they've known is turmoil, Lord, I pray that they'll just take a couple minutes and head over to the prayer room and find out how they can enter into a relationship with you so that you could just flood them with your peace. For any of us, Lord, that are in a crisis point where we really need to receive this from you, do your work by your Spirit in our lives today. Don't let us spend another day with our hearts being troubled. Overwhelm us with your peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.